These brief little readings that we have today, there is so much that is packed in here. So in the prayers that we heard at Mass, we hear about the transfixion of our Blessed Lady's heart, the piercing of Our Lady's heart. And that piercing was with the sword, as told by Simeon the prophet, when Our Lady and Saint Joseph brought Jesus into the temple. Now, in order to understand that, we have to recognize that it is not a normal sword that is being spoken of. In fact, the word that is used there in St. Luke's Gospel is used only twice in the entire Bible, and that has to do with a different kind of sword. Once it is used to speak about the sword that would pierce Our Lady's heart, which is a sword of sorrow. And once it is used about the sword with which our Lord would slay Satan, but that is the sword of his mouth. And so it is not talking about a normal sword piercing Our Lady's heart. And that becomes important because we realize then that what we're dealing with here is not something physical, but something that is spiritual. It is a spiritual kind of sword, a sword of sorrow. And in the piercing of our Blessed Lady's heart, this is the point at which her sorrow is the greatest. You can see in the windows that go around the seven sorrows of our Blessed Lady, and yet there is none that even came close to the sorrow that she would have experienced standing at the foot of the cross. And yet it is at that exact moment that we see a couple of other things happening. Remember that Our Lady is the Queen. The Queen Mother in Israel always was enthroned next to the King. She was the Mother. She was to intercede on behalf of all of the people. So where is our Lord enthroned on earth? Right there on the cross, where right above his head it says that he is the King of the Jews, and they put a crown on his head. And who is standing right next to the cross but his Mother, the Queen? And in that role as the Queen, she has destroyed the devil. We see that in the first reading. Again, we have to put it in context. Judith was a woman who was from a town where the enemy had surrounded them. They had cut off the food and water. People were literally dying of hunger and thirst. And she went right into the enemy camp. She chopped off the head of the general, brought the head back, and the army was destroyed. That's exactly what Our Lady has done. Just as Jesus had to enter into death, there was Our Lady as the Queen, as his Mother, entering in with him, not shying away from the battle, but rather being right there in the midst of it, at the very spot where Satan thought that he was going to win. It is there that he was destroyed. And certainly the destruction of Satan ultimately comes from our Lord's death and resurrection. But the greatest humiliation for him is that it comes not from God, but from a human person, from a humble woman who destroyed him because of her humility and because of her charity. And so we see in that what appears to be the moment of the greatest defeat is in fact the moment of victory. So how bizarre in the spiritual life that these things are juxtaposed. But it's not just that. We also see our Lord looking at his beloved disciple. Remember in St. John's Gospel, he never uses his own name. He simply refers to himself as the beloved disciple, but not because he's referring to himself, but because he's referring to you. You are the beloved disciple. Just as he tells us when Thomas's name means twin, that's because you're the twin. He's got all these little things that are in there. So he never uses Our Lady's name to call attention to the fact that she's the fulfillment of the woman from Genesis 3:15. And that's exactly what we see going on here, enmity between the woman and the serpent, between her seed and his, and she crushes his despicable and disgusting head. But we have something else that's going on. As our Lord looks at his beloved disciple, he says, "Behold your mother. She becomes your mother at the foot of the cross. How? Once again, we look at it on a natural level. What is the ultimate moment of joy for a woman? When she gives birth. And what is the single most painful thing a human being can endure? The moment that a woman gives birth. So the most painful thing and the most glorious, joyful thing are happening simultaneously in the same person. Why would it be different for our Blessed Lady? If her heart is open spiritually, it's because it was there, 33 years earlier, that she conceived spiritually. She carried you and me in her heart for those 33 years, pondering all of these mysteries. And there now, finally coming to full term, her heart is open so that she could give birth to the children she had conceived there. That is exactly what we see in the woman in the book of Revelation. A woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and so on. She was wailing aloud in pain as she suffered to give birth. Remember, there was no suffering in the birth of Jesus. It was a miraculous birth. There was no opening of the womb the way it normally would be. She did not experience the normal birth pangs. Where was her suffering? At the foot of the cross. She was giving birth spiritually at that moment. In the greatest pain is the greatest joy. In what appears to be defeat, we have victory. All these things, if you look at it from two different perspectives, are exactly the opposite of one another. And we have to then see it from God's perspective, because this is the victory. And it's not only just the victory over sin and death. This is where new life is given to you and me. Where St. John goes out of his way right after this, pointing out what had happened as he gives us to his mother to be her children, and vice versa for her to be our mother. He then makes the point about the water and the blood coming from his heart. The water signifying our baptism, and the blood signifying the Holy Eucharist, where we are washed clean and we are fed spiritually. All of these things that are happening at that exact moment. So captured in just a couple of little verses, there's so much that is packed in there. To understand, that is your mother. That is your queen. She is the one who interceded for you. She is the one who continues, of course, to intercede for you. But it is in that intercession, literally before the throne of her son, as he is there suffering so that we could have our sins forgiven and our souls could be saved. It is there that out of absolute and pure love for you and me, as well as, of course, for God, that Our Lady willfully said yes. So oftentimes, when you read the saints, they will talk about two fiats of Our Lady. The fiat at the Annunciation, where she said, let it be done according to me, according to thy word, and the fiat at the foot of the cross. We don't hear her say, let it be at the foot of the cross. We see her live it. She accepts it, she embraces it, and she puts it into practice. She said yes to us. She embraced us, and she brought us to new life with her son. She is the Queen Mother. And in this point, to understand in the midst of her suffering, this is her greatest glory as a mother, bringing forth her children. But for us, it's bringing forth children to new life, being spiritually born from Our Lady through everything in the agony of our blessed Lord. It is there the enemy of our soul is destroyed. It is there that grace is brought for us, for our souls. It is there that everything is open. The Sacred Heart of Jesus, wide open to us. The heart of our Blessed Lady, pierced, wide open to us. All of these things happening right at that moment. And while indeed they are mysterious, they are wonderful for Jesus and Mary, we have to recognize who they're really about. It's about you and me. Why did Jesus do what he did? Not because of himself, because of us. Why was Our Lady right there doing what she did? For us. She didn't get anyone. Well, look what she got out of it. She got us. Heck of a deal. So, yeah, we need to see it from the spiritual perspective and what God is doing. And then to apply those words. Jesus saw the disciple whom he loved, you, standing there with his mother, and said to the disciple, "Behold your mother."